This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Captain America, Brave New World.
This is a new installment in the Captain America storyline, but we have a new Captain America, which is Sam Wilson, played by Anthony Mackie. And before watching this movie, I was very worried. I was very worried about how there is a lot of hit and misses that the MCU has been going to. And it's like, what is going on with the MCU? This film had reshoots as well, a crazy budget. But I have to say, I was happy with it. It's good. I wouldn't say it goes beyond and good. I thought it was okay. Yeah, I was happy. It's something that isn't terrible. It's interesting when you see other people's reviews about this movie because it's all mixed. There's some interesting discussions about this movie. So what about you, Tom? Did you like it? Did you struggle with it?
I mean, I thought it was fine. I don't think it's a very good movie. I didn't hate it. It's far from the worst. A lot of people are saying this is the worst MCU movie ever. It's not that bad. It's not amazing either. It kind of just sits in the middle. Like, I didn't really... We covered all three Captain America movies, and since doing Civil War, I went back and I rewatched Falcon Winter Soldier, and that show is amazing. Like, to me, so many things I disliked about the Captain America movies are things that I liked about the show. Every shot is so deliberate, well-framed, colourful. It's full of intimacy, of character moments, of community, culture, politics, isolation, conflict, real human drama and struggle. And I just adore it. And, you know, that's the transition where Sam Wilson goes from being the Falcon to Captain America. And this film, Brave New World, is co-written by the Falcon and the Winter Soldier's creator and head writer, Malcolm Spellman. And I think my main thought leaving this film was, what the hell did they do to this poor guy? I mean, I truly believe that Malcolm Spellman and Julius Honor, the director, had a story to tell, a story about Sam, about Joaquin, about Thaddeus, about real people and their real struggles. And I think that's what we saw in Falcon Winter Soldier. But this film, through, as you said, reshoots, rewrites, different edits, test screenings, studio panic, this film has very clearly become about something else, something that I think is somewhat soulless, somewhat hollow. It's a film that's barely about anything. So simply put, the president has had an assassination attempt and Captain America and the Falcon need to discover who's behind it. And we have two main concurrent plot lines. It's Captain America trying to figure out who's behind this assassination attempt, and also the president is struggling with international relations, which are getting quite tense. And it's not a terrible film. To me, it's not as good as Falcon and Winter Soldier. I wouldn't say it's as good as the other Captain America movies either. But it really, it's not. Like, you can tell that it was chopped up to death in the edit.
Yeah.
And so many things were piled onto it. But it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It just feel like it was being chopped up all the way through. It had some really good moments in the story, but then it feels overshadowed by the awkwardness of the story. It did have something to say, which is quite relevant today about the world. There's so much corruption, there's so much misinformation or things that taking control over voices, you know, voices being taken away. The movie does something weird, which is it references Eternals in a very strange way, because we get to see Tiamat in the ocean, and that's the only time that the MCU has ever referenced Eternals. And it doesn't talk about the other events that happened in the story. There's nothing to do that, but it references Eternals, which you have to watch, understand what is exactly going on. Why is this celestial body appeared in the middle of the ocean? If you wanted to know about how Sam became Captain America, you would have to watch the show. But I mean, that is not bad if you want to get some context, you know, a movie and a show. But it does get frustrating if you're a new viewer and you just want to get into Marvel, and then you have to understand everything.
They had a moment after Endgame where it was like, Shang-Chi, you can watch that without any context. Eternals, you can watch without any context. That was probably it, wasn't it? a couple of the shows, you know, maybe Miss Marvel or Moon Knight, you know, She-Hulk certainly. But especially once we got into Phase 5, all of this is requiring a lot of previous reading. I mean, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine was chock-a-block full of stuff. Guardians 3 is a sequel to four other movies. And now you hear a lot of people saying, oh my god, this is a movie that you need to watch so many films to understand. And it's like, okay, let's not pretend that the last Captain America movie, you didn't need to watch watch two Avengers movies and at least five standalone other films on top of the other two Captain America movies to understand. Let's not pretend like that's not the case. There have been criticisms leveled towards this film that is like, what are you even saying? And yeah, I think that this film, 100%, it does bring back stuff. There's a lot of stuff from The Incredible Hulk as well, a film that's 17 years old. I do think it's a pointless thing to complain about that you have to do homework or whatever, but it is admittedly bizarre that Sam Wilson's first Captain America movie is dealing with a lot of plot threads from a Hulk film that we're never going to get an actual sequel to.
It's kind of odd, like, okay, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of context to put in as well for people that understand Hulk or that don't understand a lot of things that are happening in the MCU. And it also, it's odd when there are things that are coming in the future that doesn't have any build up. I mean, this is a good film in its self-contained moments that are happening. It was really good to see Sam on the big screen as Captain America. But the thing is, the editing really made things so awkward. So, for example, at the opening, Sam fights this guy in a church, and the editing is just awful. It just cuts to different moments, and it just breaks some rules, I guess. And why did you cut to that? Why did you do this? And there was no real motivation behind it, and it would just be so frustrating to watch.
I think that's very valid. I think it speaks to all the reshoots and all the retooling of this film. Clearly, a lot was worked around. There are even moments where it feels like a spum movie, and you can tell that some things have been added in.
Yeah, the action just felt there was no impact. There was no way Sam was using the shield. It's clearly CGI all the way through, and it just felt like there was nothing really to show that real impact. Because in the other movies, like Civil War, you do get to see Captain America's shield have like an impact. With the reshoots, with all the things that are happening, or the editing, it just feel like this is a completely different movie.
There is a lot of action sequences. I don't think the action was terrible. I mean, some of the things I didn't like about the action in the previous two Captain America movies, it wasn't too shaky, it wasn't over-edited, and there are some scenes that are fairly memorable. The action sequence at the end, we're not in spoilers yet, but that, you know, it's a decent enough action scene, like, fine. There's a lot of CGI throughout the film, and that's not great. Like you said, the shield often just feels weightless, and like it's just kind of flying around, but not in the cool way, I guess. Some of it is emotionally dull, but I think pretty much every other action scene in the other three Captain America movies and in Falcon the Winter Soldier beat all the fights in this one. Again, when I rewatch Falcon Winter Soldier, there's just so many fantastic action set pieces, and this just doesn't have that, because so often they are fighting and emotionally it's not massively engaging. I would say this film feels a lot of the time like it's desperate to get to the next action sequence.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Esposito is in this movie playing Sidewinder, and every single scene of him, it's so obviously a reshoot, and he's just like, oh, Sidewinder's here, okay, action scene, and then it's gone. You could take all of that out and clean up the film a fair bit. It's one of those things, again, where Giancarlo Esposito feels trapped in his Breaking Bad Gus Fring role, like, you know, watch Do the Right Thing, or one of his comedic roles, like, he can do so much more than what he's being given. But again, Falcon Winter Soldier, directed by Kerry Skoglund, the score was by Henry Jackman, and both of those elements consistently made me go, wow, that series looked amazing, or the action was amazing. Even the conversation sequences were shot so well, and that's not something you normally can say for an MCU movie, because normally the conversations are boring and it's like mid shots, and that was the case for this movie. I think that going from Falcon Winter Soldier to this, it was like, oh, it's just the standard MCU boring
quippy dialogue as well, trying to be funny.
Yeah, it's disappointing to go from one to the other.
Yeah, but there was some good moments, as I mentioned earlier. There was one moment with Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Wasp and Sam. Great scene on this warship where it reveals some implications about Wasp's character, what he's going through. It was just Harrison Ford's performance in that scene was very good. It has that emotion, which the movie lacked. It was good to see these two people, what they were trying to do and trying to save.
There are moments when the character stuff from Falcon and Winter Soldier shines through, and you can see it just kind of, but throughout, Anthony Mackie proves himself to be a fantastic Sam Wilson, a fantastic Captain America. Sam is a good Cap because he's human, because he's a good man, he's compassionate, and he can inspire. There is a really great line where someone says, Steve gave people something to believe in, but you give them something to aspire to. I talked about in our Winter Soldier video that Sam Wilson the Falcon was always one of my favorites, and Joaquin Torres says a similar thing in this film, and it's like, yeah, I do believe that he is more grounded, more achievable than a lot of other heroes. No super soldier serum, no nothing. I really loved that. Sam and Joaquin Rakim have a fantastic rapport, a fantastic relationship. They have great chemistry. I really enjoyed that aspect of the film and this kind of mentor and student dynamic. Them going on the hunt for this mysterious figure who's caused all this stuff. That was really, really good. And if the movie was more about that, I would have probably had so much more fun.
That was the one thing that I really enjoyed about this movie, like how Yaki looked up to Sam, like how Sam becomes Falcon, but also Captain America. And it's just the progression of that story that makes it so interesting. And then there's some great interviews from Anthony Mackie about like how much people look up to Captain America. It's really beautiful because it can be, you know, anyone, no matter skin or gender or anything, you can look up to Captain America. And it's the role model, the thing to look up to. Because Captain America isn't only for America, but it's for the world, you know, to understand you have a voice and fight for things.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who've been saying, who's going to lead the Avengers in Doomsday? And it's like, Captain America. There's never a conversation. It's Captain America. Doesn't matter if it's Steve Rogers or Samuel. That's the guy. He's the leader. He is the person who we can look up to. We can, you know, aspire to. There is this beautiful video of this little girl. She's white. She's in Disneyland. And she sees the Captain America, the Sam Wilson Captain America. And she's like, oh my God. Like, she's so nervous and so happy. And as you say, it doesn't matter about gender or skin color. That's Captain America to her. That's what matters. And I think I wish this film was so much more about that and what this Captain America means to the people, continuing those themes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But we spend so much time in this film with Sabra, who is just, there's two angles to look at this character from. First of all, there's the non-political side where she's really dull, boring. Her action isn't anything interesting. Her character flips her attitudes, almost like a 180, goes from kind of being serious and somewhat menacing to being like, hey, we're all cool, I'm gonna make jokes. And the actor who plays her is very dry, very flat. And then obviously Sabra as a character who was barely in the comics, and particularly now with the state of the world with Israel, why have this character in there? She does nothing in the movie. She could have been anybody else. I don't know what Marvel wanted to say with this character here, but I don't like it. This film was going to have Diamond back. Not the same Diamond back as Luke Cage, but a different Diamond back. Whole character just cut. There's even like toys of that character just axed. And I just think it's just such a shame that instead we have to deal with this blank slate, this absolutely charisma-less.
It's two-dimensional. Yeah,
right? Just it's boring nothing. Character.
It's and it's just so odd that the movie was trying to frame her as the Deus Ex Machina, because later on she does save Sam and Yakim in the underground lab thing. So she just came out of nowhere and like, hey guys, here I am.
Which was such a boring action scene as well.
I don't want to diss all the choreography, because there's amazing choreography fight sequences that people have produced in the movie industry, but it's just that particular fight choreography that was just so boring. It just didn't have anything new. There was no impact with that. So yeah, it's just very odd that the movie was trying to put in things and building blocks that just didn't have any strong foundation.
It's such a big missed opportunity of the action, because the action has been so cool in other Captain America stories, and there are some good action sequences, as I said earlier, but massively it's this issue that the MCU has been plagued with for a while. But Sam's got a new suit, everyone, and after his first one got such fanfare and significance in Falcon and Winter Soldier, this one's just the exact same color scheme as Steve's. It's not got any meaning. It's not a critique of Sam working with the government, which is what I thought it might be. It's not him desperately trying to be like Steve. It's just there. But that's not all, John. Good news. We have nanotech. I bet you wanted more, didn't you? I bet you did. Well, we have Wakandan vibranium kinetic energy. Woo! Just what makes Captain America cool, isn't it? It sucks that so many heroes in the MCU have the exact same technology and the same weapons. And why even have different heroes at this point? It just feels like the same types with different skins and names. Like, boring. I don't hate the idea of characters using similar technology, but it feels like a crutch in this movie. And I would have loved to see Sam go up against the big villain of this movie, who is in all the trailers, but I'm not going to spoil anyway for the two people who don't know who it is. What if he went against that villain with just the wings and the shield? It's like when he was fighting Carly in Falcon and Winter Soldier, using the environment, using his wings, using the shield. That's cool. In this one, there's so many, like, the wings glow purple and then pew! It's like, oh, it's boring, man.
It's just lazy in terms of nanotech. We saw the downfall of that in Infinity War with the nanotech, and it's just like, are they going to utilize this more? I wish they could have used the practicality of the helmet and stuff.
I mean, Joaquin has a helmet. He has a real helmet. He just puts it on, and it's beautiful. I almost cried. I saw the helmet, and I was like, there he is. That's
my
goat.
God, a real thing. It's a real thing in the movie. Wow. But yeah, Should we just get into the main core
spoiler of this movie? Let's do it.
So, I have in my notes trailers, loads of spoilers.
Why did they tell us everything?
Like, whose idea was to show Ross as Red Hulk in the movie?
Mad.
That would have been a great reveal to be like, oh my god, it's him. I was disappointed because, I mean, it looks great. Don't get me wrong with the Red Hulk. But it's just about the build-up in the movie, you know, like with Ross's arc, which I thought it was fine. We do get to see his emotional side. He wants to be with his daughter, who he hasn't really communicated much, but he wants to rekindle with her. So this movie was like, great, let's see where this goes. But then there's something at the back of your mind. You've seen all the trailers. You've seen it 20 times. You're stuck in that cinema while watching a spum movie. You're like, oh my god, it's that Marvel movie that I can't forget about, and it has the Red Hulk in it. What was the point? That would have been an amazing build-up to reveal this whole thing. It just felt like, oh great, this is a waste of time, because it's in the third act.
Yeah, it's literally the final reveal. And I think that Ross as a character, as you say, he cares about politics, but also he cares about his daughter, and surely there's something to say thematically about his political drive and potentially his lack of humanity, a president who is losing it a little bit. Surely there's something to say there. The film doesn't bother with any of that. Of course it doesn't. But there is actually a really interesting thing where he's struggling with this illness that he has. And there's a really cool scene where as Sam and Joaquin are fighting these planes, he's struggling with his potential first turn to the Red Hulk. That's really cool. And I like how the final fight, as I said earlier, is fine. The CGI is amazing. I think all the CGI budget went into the Red Hulk and not anything else. They do a whole action scene with Celestial Island and it's just flying in the air, and Celestial Island is somewhat in the background. Like, they never utilize it as a location, but sure, the action scene's fine. I do love how Sam gets his ass handed to him despite all the technology. The Hulk just absolutely hands it to him, and I like how Sam uses his humanity. That's the quality of Captain America. He uses that to calm him down and to defuse the situation. I actually really, really love that. But just in general, it could have been such a cool reveal if they hadn't have put it in. And so instead, the thing that the trailer doesn't show us, the big reveal, is the villain who's been pulling the strings. And it is, of course, Tim Blake Nelson returns as Samuel Stearns, Mr. Blue, the leader. And of course, we were all waiting. I've played Lego Marvel Superheroes. I know what the leader looks like. I'm really excited for this. He's got the goatee, he's got the big head. He looks terrible. I thought MODOK was bad, but this might be the worst looking.
Oh, it's worse than MODOK, you think?
So much worse, because it's not even close to what the comic looks like. They're going for like an early 2000s comic design, and it looks laughably bad. It's just like, how would you describe it?
It just looks like a SpongeBob on his
head. Yeah, okay, I like that.
Nothing really to show leader from the comics.
He's not even like green. He just looks sickly.
Yeah, that's it. Does that look like he's a villain or something? It's like Scar. He's got a scar. Does that make him a villain? What's the point of not doing something faithful to like have him genuinely terrifying and he's like smart, you know, he's big brained. And what the movie was trying to do, circling around this like probabilities and stuff of chances, all of that, like what's going to happen, like 89% chance of doing this, which is a cool concept, but it was executed poorly. Nothing really terrifying about it. And when it comes to the leader reveal, I think there was a few people in the cinema would be like, who? Because they wouldn't have watched The Incredible Hulk. Was it the reshoots that caused this?
Have you seen the original design?
No, I haven't.
Right, okay. Haven't. So, the original design, it has been shown in marketing and various things. It literally, it's perfect. It's the leader. Originally, I'm just showing it you now.
Oh.
They nailed it originally. Like, you know, that is...
But why did they have to make it so ugly, though?
17 years of the MCU, and we're still scared of comic book... See, I see the fear in John's face. That's right, we're old. But they're still scared after all this time that they fear doing something actually comic book accurate and committing to it. And the leader, you're right, it could be cool having a villain who can predict things, but they just don't do anything with it. He's just I don't know what they did to this guy, man. And then the post-credit scene, which is laughable, and he's like, oh, Captain America... Well, there are other worlds too. Get ready because they're coming. And it's like, who's coming, man? Is it Kang? And it's not going to be Kang.
Kang?
It's so boring because we know about the multiverse. We know about all this stuff. Why are we setting it up in this way still? I don't even know.
I'm just so bored of the multiverse. Please, can we just...
Yeah.
It's nothing new at this point. I mean, I was glad that we do get to see something grounded, which is Captain America. But, however, we've got Doomsday. We've got those that will be covering multiverse things as well. And some weird excuse of having Robert Downey Jr. back as Dr. Doom, but not as a Tony Stark variant, but something else. It's a weird place. I'm hoping Thunderbolts will be cool.
Yeah.
But this is an awkward place right now, because it's just like, what are they doing with Marvel? Why add so many unnecessary things to this movie? Nothing to say. It's a very weird movie.
Yeah, it's something that attempts to follow on from the TV show. Isaiah Bradley's in it, and they somewhat follow on with him, but, you know, they kind of half-ass that.
It's the same thing over again.
I felt like his arc was done. I don't see why he would then be willing to train Cap and go to the White House and take a selfie.
It felt weirdly
inconsistent. I don't mind the character grows and becomes a little bit more open and friendly, but it feels like a weird whiplash between the two. Bucky gets a cameo, which was delightful. Obviously, him and Sam, they got a really great scene. Yeah, he's a congressman now. Why? I don't even know.
Yeah, that's a whole development.
We'll find out, I guess. But this is the thing. Whatever the MCU does next, wherever the MCU is about to go, some of it will be good, some of it was bad. We have this thing again where some people are like, oh, the MCU is so over. And it's like, guys, seriously, stop it. The MCU has always been incredibly hit or miss. You just forget because Infinity War and Endgame were so satisfying. Just please just stop it with the MCU's back, MCU's over. This isn't the worst MCU movie by a long shot. It's more enjoyable than a lot of the bad flicks of the franchise, but it is fairly uninspired, and I hope that Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts are really good, but if they're not, it's not the end of the world. We had another mid-Marvel movie, even another bad Marvel movie. Just move on. It's not a big deal. Really isn't. Yeah. So what are you going to give Captain America Brave New World out of 10?
I'm going to go a 5.
Cool. I'm going to go 4. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, John, it's the perfect thing. We've gone from a really underwhelming MCU thing, but next week is the peak. We are doing the 3 seasons of Daredevil.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, no, that's some good fucking food. And you can send us an email at alstonefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Daredevil, the original show. And we'll answer right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell. We're on Blue Sky now, so if you want to hear more thoughts from Tom and me, we're going to be on Blue Sky, which is going to be in the description below. We've got edited clips on TikTok, also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, and you can find links there all in the description below as well. Thanks to LJN Smith for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.